My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. The first hour was chaos. You can always tell when it's a Friday show.
I think so.
When I first got into radio, not got into radio, when I first got to 95.7, because at my other station, every show was a Friday show. But when I first got to 95.7, somebody mentioned the idea of, like, that's a great idea for a Friday.
Mm.
It's like, what? It's Wednesday. That's a great idea for right now. How is it not a great idea? It was like a silly kind of bit thing. I can't even remember what it was. It was so long ago. And somebody goes, it's a great idea for a Friday show. I'm like, what does that mean? They're like, well, Fridays are just a fake show. It's just like silliness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't subscribe to it being a fake show. Like, it still very much matters. But stuff like talking about Schoolboy Q's album and talking about Employee Appreciation Day and things of that nature.
You're allowed
like
that.
They just fit better on a Friday.
You're allowed some leeway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you know, something big had happened last night that wouldn't be all over it. But anyways, very Friday show today.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a Friday show. We were talking earlier about the trade that Vlade Divac did where he ended up giving up a 2019 first round pick. And I thought it was Denzel Valentine. It was not Denzel Valentine. It was Romeo Langford. Sorry. Very similar player who basically is out of the league as well. So that pick really didn't hurt the Kings. It ended up being like the 14th pick in the draft and like in another suspect draft.
You could write a book about these disasters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It feels like a, you know, do you remember Goosebumps?
Yeah.
Are you?
Well, I have kids.
Okay. And they were the like choose your own adventure stories.
Yeah.
Where you'd read and it'd be like, you get to the forest, turn to page 19 to walk into the forest, turn to page 46 to go home. You know, whatever.
See, Choose Your Own Adventures, I grew up with, like, those were my books.
Okay. So, Choose Your Own Adventure, I guess, goes beyond Goosebumps. That's just how I remember them. But that's how I feel like you could do a King's version of that.
Like, oh, yeah, the what
like,
if.
Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this pick swap? Then turn to page 18.
I could
do. You want to keep Nick Stauskas? Turn to page 14.
I could also do like the Marvel What If. What if?
Oh, that'd be good.
What if the Sacramento Kings didn't draft Thomas Robinson and selected Damian Lillard?
Oh.
With the 5th pick in the 2012 NBA draft.
Yikes.
What if? What if they drafted CJ McCollum instead of Ben McLemore? 2013. Oof. What if they would have listened to Jeff Petrie and drafted Giannis Antetokounmpo with the number 7 pick, or moved back and got more things and drafted Giannis in 2013 NBA draft?
What if they didn't fire Mike Brown?
Mike Malone. They haven't fired Mike Brown yet. No.
What if they did fire Mike Brown?
Yeah. See, there are definitely a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
And that's where my brain works with the history stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Telling you, it's a great book. Either Choose Your Own Adventure or What If, both. Choose Your Own Adventure. Just restart the Kings at 06-07.
Yeah.
And just start and do a Choose Your Own Adventure of what ifs.
Yeah. I mean, I could, what if they let the Kings move to Anaheim?
Okay. That's too far.
Just saying.
That's just where the book ends. Turn to the last page. Sicko. It's over.
It's over. And then they all died.
The end. The San Antonio Spurs got their 12th win last night. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, who had won 6 in a row.
Mm.
They were cruising when they went into San Antonio, and you're thinking, man, the Thunder are going to whoop this team. They're playing for a number one seed. The Spurs are playing out the string. Not if Victor Wembanyama has anything to say about it. Victor Wembanyama, 28 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 5 blocks, 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. Just in the fourth quarter, Wembanyama, 8 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. He was 2 of 3 from 3. He had the dagger in that one. Jeremy Sohan, Devin Vassell, both really good in that game. Who cares about the Spurs? Except Victor Wembanyama's lines are always hilarious. Chet Holmgren, by the way, mm-hmm. who we've talked about before, would just be the runaway rookie of the year, stone cold mortal lock in any other season.
Any other season. Yeah.
Last night, 23 points, 7 boards, 5 assists. A block. This is an excellent player, and Wembanyama just...
Talk about just getting overshadowed completely.
Different tier. It's crazy. You said something interesting to me, though.
Uh-oh.
Because I saw this... I saw the end of this game. The very end of it. My buddy's a big Spurs fan and texted me. He's like, you gotta see Wemby doing this. All right, man, I got you. You were like, hey, the Thunder lost.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, we'll go back and forth. Pelicans lost, Mavericks lost, and we'll just kind of kick that around for a second. She texts me and you go, the Thunder lost. I'm going, well, the Kings are currently 7.5 back of the Thunder. What is that? Please explain why you think it may be significant that the Thunder lost last night.
Well, yeah, because, look, we have no idea where this thing is going to end up. What is there, 24 games left in the season?
Yeah, for the Kings.
There are plenty of times for...
25.
Yeah, 25. Okay, there's plenty of time for one of these teams that are inexperienced and up near the top to completely collapse. There's also plenty of time for them to move down to a number 3 seed and the Kings to move up to a number 6 seed. These things can matter, mm-hmm. especially OKC. If you're the Kings right now, I think you would circle maybe Minnesota. You would circle mm-hmm. OKC. You'd circle Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would you circle and say, this is who I would kind of, you don't want to circle Denver because Denver just showed you who they could be.
Yeah, I want no smoke with Denver in the playoffs.
But the first 3 games of the season, you did play Denver well.
I don't want any part of Mike Malone and his staff in a 7-game series.
I'm kind of in agreement with you there.
But Oklahoma City, I think if you're ranking these teams, I think Oklahoma City is a pretty clear cut number one there. For all the reasons, remember last year, last year going to the Kings-Warriors series, Kings were a better team all year. Mm-hmm. But the thing everybody kept picking the Warriors is because of all the experience. They've been there before. The Kings are just too young. This is year one of this thing. You don't make runs in year one. And that, to me, is the logic I'm using with Oklahoma City. I love them. I think they are going to be so freaking good for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not buying them this year as a playoff contender.
No, I mean, the Clippers and the Suns would both probably try to lose games to make sure that they matched up with OKC.
Yeah,
even more than Minnesota. Maybe. Even but then again, in Minnesota, I'm not sure because Minnesota is
Minnesota's at least been there with these dudes. Well, they were there last year. They gave the Nuggets their toughest series.
Yeah, but I would still say that you're going to run into the problem that in the playoffs, like, everybody knows how to run Rudy Gobert off the court.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're just going to get in switches and, you know, mm-hmm. that's the one thing that, like, we talk about, like, the Kings haven't developed their identity and stuff. That's mm-hmm. still something that I don't think that we see enough, where the Kings, we saw for like 5 minutes, and we talked about early in the season for like 5 minutes, where the Kings were starting to get the switches that they wanted to get. That went away. That's like one of those things that just hasn't happened, where the Kings are no longer getting the switches and the things that they were trying to, yeah, this team's got me a little like all over the place.
Well, that's what they are. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's, you can't go in on them like, dude, they need to blow this up. They need to do X, they need to do Y, they need to do Z, because there have been enough flashes this year that you're going, man, if they just do that, they could win 9 out of their next 10 and be firmly in the playoffs. And we're going, all right, hey, how do they match up with the Clippers?
Mm.
You know, oh, feel good going into the playoffs. Look how well they're playing down the stretch. Like, that's on the table for me. I wouldn't bet on it
mm-hmm.
just based on what we've seen this year. But like tonight, I look at tonight and I go, I think the Kings are going to lose tonight. I do not love this spot for them. They've lost two in a row. Now they're second road game in a row, coming off a really bad loss to Denver. Like, man, this is just feels like this is where they slide a little bit.
De'Aaron Fox is questionable.
De'Aaron Fox dealing with a knee thing. But every time this year I've gone like, well, they're cooked tonight. They've gone on one. It yeah. looked great. Where we're going the next day, we're like, hey, oh,
hey-o.
There it is.
Hey. Are they back?
We're all over the not? Place because they're all over the place. Do not blame yourselves.
Yeah.
Do not do that. It's the Kings' fault. It's their fault. You're reacting to their performances, and their performances are all over the place.
It's not you. It's them.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's
don't,
them.
Don't have them call you. You'll call them.
That's right.
All right. We need to hit a break. How do the Kings win tonight? I am not optimistic, but every time I've been not optimistic this year, they have shown the best version of themselves. Every time they've gotten their backs really up against the wall, they have come out and played their best. How do they play their best tonight? We'll tell you next. All right, we're back in here. Kings Timberwolves tonight. He is James Hamm, owner of the Kings beat.
Of course,
owner,
operator,
staff writer, executive editor in chief, intern,
host of the podcast,
host of the podcast. Now subscribe to the Kings beat at thekingsbeat.com. You can also subscribe to the Kings beat podcast, which is James. Sean Cunningham. I wanted to say Scott Cunningham. I don't know who that is, but Cunningham and Brendan Nunes, they do a great job, so make sure to check that out. But since we're here, let's talk Kings Timberwolves right now on this program.
Mm.
How's that sound?
I'm in.
Keys to victory tonight for the Sacramento Kings as they look to win their season series against the Timberwolves. They've split the first two, but the Kings did get one in Minnesota. That was another game that we talked a little bit earlier about how many times this year it's felt like the Kings, like, okay, the second shoe is dropping. Here's where they kind of slide and really show us who they are, and they don't play well. But then they come out with this really great performance, and this was that was the road trip where they lost the two in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, man, now they got to go to Minnesota. This could get ugly. And then they go and they just worked Minnesota and played one of their best games all year.
Well, that Minnesota at that point had not lost at home.
Yeah.
I think they're 9-0 at home or something. That, like, this was a big time victory, especially the getaway game. You know, you'd won three straight. You got the Lakers, San Antonio, and the Mavs on the road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get just thumped by the Pelicans twice. And then, you know, this team has an uncanny ability to show up in weird situations and make some noise.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. And so it's definitely, it's intriguing to me to see who this team is, who they show up, how they show up in a game like this where it's starting to matter a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the thing that stuck out when I was going back through that game was, okay, De'Aaron Fox is obviously great. Domas didn't have a huge game, but he's still really productive. It was the 45 bench points for me. That when I look at, okay, how do they replicate the 45 bench points? Like, man, if they get that tonight, you get 45 from your bench, regardless of who's doing the 45, I would feel really, really good about them winning tonight.
Yeah. I just don't know that they have that bench anymore.
No,
which is weird. You get to this point in the season and, like, I don't know who would put up those points.
Kessler Edwards had 10.
Yeah, I mean,
what?
Kessler Edwards makes sense playing him against this team.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sense against Kat. He makes sense against Jaden McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe he plays
tonight. Yeah, well, maybe he does.
All right, let's get to keys to victory. James Hamm of the Kings beat. What is your first key to a Sacramento Kings victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves?
It is ignore their length and play your game. Like, just forget about it. Just don't worry about the fact that Rudy Gobert is standing in the key. Feed Domas. Like, just, like, play your game.
Mm-hmm.
And let the chips fall where they may. Don't get into some weird, like, paint touches for this team are so crucial.
Yeah.
Do what you do. Do your offense. Be who you are, and you should be okay.
Yeah, and that actually perfectly ties into my first key, and that is you have to move the ball on offense. The ball has to hop around, because if you sit there, this Minnesota team, in this year where offense is blowing up and offensive ratings are higher than they've ever been, and the Kings set a record for offensive rating this year, and there's like six or seven or last year, and there's six or seven teams with a higher one this year, the Timberwolves still have a defensive rating of 108.3. The next team is the Cavaliers at 111.3. That 3-point difference in defensive rating is the same as the difference between 2 and 10.
Wow.
Like, that is how far ahead Minnesota is of every other team defensively. And I think to combat that a little bit, you have to have the ball moving. If you're doing one dribble handoff every single time, they're going to adapt to that, and that's it. If it's, hey, give it to Domas in the post and let him dribble and he's going to try and figure out a way to get it, they're going to adjust and they're going to get stops that way. Now, if you're moving, you're going to get clean shots. You're going to get looks at the rim. The ball has to move tonight. I would love to see 30-plus assists from the Kings.
Yeah, and that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
that's it.
Don't get away from who you are.
Yep. Number two.
Feed Keegan. If Fox is out... This might change a little bit, but the Timberwolves like to run Jaden McDaniels at Fox, and that would leave anyone else, to defend Keegan. If Fox plays, Keegan needs to eat. He needs to be a focal point for the Kings. If Fox doesn't play, life becomes a lot more difficult, and it just becomes who gets hot, try to ride the hot hand, try to get through a game, try to find a way to be gritty and win, but to me, it really does hinge upon Fox playing or not, but feed Keegan.
And that's not just for tonight. Like, it is. It is just for tonight. But then you want to zoom out and go long term. Like, Keegan having a big game would be big time for his development. Number two for me ties in a little bit to my first one, and this goes back to the Kings' identity. Every time the Timberwolves miss a shot, get the rebound and go.
Yeah.
Do not let their defense get set. Because, again, that is when they can just put you in a bind and just kind of suffocate you. If you're getting out and running, making it a more frenetic pace, that makes it a little bit more difficult to get set and play that lockdown defense.
Yep. I'm with you.
Number three.
This is a playoff game. Straight up.
Dang.
Kings have gotten to a point where blown too many games. That's it.
It's a playoff game.
It's a playoff game.
Man.
And you need to treat it as such. Like, it doesn't matter if Fox plays or not, you got to go out there and you have to try to search out a win.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to drop three in a row right here. The standings are just smacking you around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Lakers and the Warriors are on your heels. You got teams trying to pull away from you up above. Like, you have got to figure out a way to lock in and win a game that matters. This is a playoff game.
That's a great point, and I think that's something we should track the rest of the way. Because it feels like every game going in, it's like, yeah, this feels like this is playoff-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's going to go. My last one, number three. Outshine their stars. Minnesota had two All-Stars. I don't think they should have.
No.
It was Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards being an All-Star, fine. Karl Anthony Towns felt like a reach, and I would like to see Domantas Sabonis specifically show that tonight. Show why that was wrong. He's gotten opportunities to play and show, and he averaged a triple-double in February, and look how great he is. Should have been an All-Star. Everybody knows it. Well, now's the chance to go up against Karl Anthony Towns specifically and Rudy Gobert. He's going to see plenty of Rudy Gobert, but not one-on-one necessarily. Just outplay Karl Anthony Towns by a lot. I would like to see that tonight.
No, I totally agree. What's your matchup of the game?
My matchup of the game? I'm going to go back to, man... You know, I know I joked about this last time. It's Sabonis against Gobert. That is what I, because I think Domas is going to need to score tonight. He's going to have to put the ball in the basket. And it's something I want to bring up actually a little bit later, but he has to score and put the ball in the basket. The Kings, I think, are at their best when they are getting into the paint. They're getting those paint touches. And Rudy Gobert is just an eraser inside. And I think if Domantas Sabonis can win that matchup, maybe hit a couple of threes, get Rudy Gobert to pull him out of the paint a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm watching for.
Okay.
What about yours?
My matchup of the game is I'm going to go Keegan versus Jaden McDaniels. Because I think that's like if Keegan can find a way and can fight through the fact that he's playing against a strong defender,
mm-hmm.
then the Kings have the second or third score that they need. And yep. if not, I think this game could get ugly, especially if Fox doesn't play. Injury report, we've got De'Aaron Fox questionable with left knee contusion. And, of course, Sasha Vezenkov is out. Kyle Anderson is doubtful for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But also, Anthony Edwards is questionable with left ankle soreness. So, maybe saying there's a chance? I don't know.
Just get bench on bench.
There we go.
I like the Kings' chances in that one.
I like their chances early in the season, but their chances right
maybe
now.
Not, maybe not.
We'll see.
Maybe not now. Kessler Edwards against Jaden McDaniels is my matchup to watch. All right. Want to remind everybody real quick before we get out of here. Saturday, 11:15 a.m., college basketball here on ESPN 1320. Number 5 Marquette at number 12 Creighton. Start getting those notes down for your brackets. And then we've got some NBA basketball for you. 5 p.m. Saturday, Nuggets at Lakers. And Sunday, 9:30 a.m., we've got Sixers at Mavs. That Sixers-Mavs game is one that Kings fans are going to want to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
That is a big-time game for Sacramento. Basically, rooting for the Kings and every team playing against Dallas.
That's
and
right.
New Orleans and Phoenix.
And the Lakers.
The rest of the way.
And the Warriors.
And Golden State. There's so many teams involved. Oh, dumb. All right, we got more hoops coming up on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Final segment. There's Damian Barling right there. He and Kenny Caraway will be taking over at noon. Thanks everybody for hanging out this week. It's been a fun week.
It's nice being in the same room, Kyle.
I am so... Can I thank you for something? I am so happy. Like, I like football very much. I am a football guy. I'm one of those dummies that every time the Niners make a roster move, partly because of Niners wire and needing to write, but every time they make like a practice squad move, I look into that player and I just have in mind like what they can do. And that way, if they get come and just like right now, I'm deep dive on free agency and this and that. I'm just kind of a dork when it comes to that stuff. But I'm also not like a football hardo where I'm just like, I need to record the combine and to watch everything. I'm going to take notes on every single thing and da 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 da. That's a lot. I appreciate that you're not that guy. Doing a show with a person who right now is like, we need to do 2 hours of combine be brutal.
No. I love.
So thank you.
I love it all. Thank it. I appreciate that, Kyle. I do, like, even during NBA combine, you're not, they don't film it the same way and
it's not a whole production.
It's usually like, you know, you watch a bunch of bad, like 3-on-3 basketball. It's like, oh, this is not good. I would like to go to the combine at least once, but
NFL or NBA?
NBA.
Okay.
I like to go in after the combine and look at the anthropometrics, the like all the measurements, the height, the weight,
the wingspan,
the standing reach. You know, the like who won the three-quarter court and who won the cone drill. And I like to break all that down, but like one time. Mm-hmm. But then I use it a lot. Like when I write about players, I'm always talking about like their combine numbers and sort of measurements.
Sure.
And as you know, for years, I mean, I did mock drafts. I think during the pandemic, the 1 year, I think I wrote 23 mock drafts for NBC Sports.
But that context is so much different than jumping on the radio.
Oh no.
And being like, how about Chop Robinson? How did that help his draft stock? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. No.
I just could not care less.
I did a
show in San Francisco one time with this guy, and here's the reason I bring this up. Yeah. It was leading into the draft. And I like the NFL draft a lot. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoy it. And the Niners not picking the first round the last couple years was a real bummer. For me personally. And I had this guy 1 year who came in to a weekend show with a like stack of papers, 4 inches thick.
No.
And he was like, wait, okay, here we go. We can talk. Okay, we can do first round here, but I got a couple of guards in the second round that I really like, and I really want to make sure we're getting into that. And dog. I don't.
No.
I like the draft a lot, and I don't care.
Yeah.
give me three guys you like in the second round. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's fine. I got a couple of guards that We need to get into that. We don't need to talk guard play in the second round, my guy.
I was almost, it's almost like, have you ever run a 40? Like, that's what I want to ask those people. Like, what was your 40 time?
Yeah.
Because if you don't have a 40 time, like, how are you comparing that? How do you know what's fast and what's, like...
Well, because you're comparing it against other guys.
Well, I know I get that. I get that.
The problem with the 40 specifically. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah,
I'm like, hey, thanks for not being combine talk guy. Now we're gonna talk combine.
Of course.
Here's my problem with the 40 specifically. That's not a thing that happens. The 40 yard dash is not a thing that happens during football games.
No,
and it certainly doesn't happen in your underwear. So, okay, 10 yard burst is big for like defensive linemen. Because you're in a stance where you are crouched down, and now you are going to get out into this burst. Oh, we have to give away a Kings jersey too. We'll do that in a second. But you have to like get out and burst, and you go, "Wow, that guy's 10 yard split was crazy."
Yes.
A defensive lineman's long speed, I could not care less. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't. You talked about form and stuff earlier. Eric Crocker, Locked On 49ers podcast. Does a great job. He played, had a cup of coffee in the NFL, also played in the Arena Football League. And he talks about when he was working out for teams before the draft, he ran a 40 at X time, I forget whatever it was, went and worked with a coach for like 2 weeks and shaved like 6/10 of a second off his 40 time.
Whoa.
It's not 6/10.
That's
but shaved dope. Significant time off of his 40.
Yeah.
I think it might have been 2/10. He went from like 4.8 to like 4.6 kind of thing.
Okay.
And that is just like, that's
what I'm telling you. Like,
what does it matter then?
When I was
watching the drill,
I'm like, hey, why does that guy keep standing up out of his stance?
Doesn't make sense.
You just blew your 40 time. Like, I could tell. Like, you blew your 40 time.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know. Like,
and you can't even relay that to, because you're watching defensive linemen last night. You can't even relay he stands straight up to, oh man, that's just how he plays. And when he comes out of his stance, he stands straight up, which isn't what you want on the defensive line.
Yeah.
But you can't even do that because that's not going and hitting an offensive lineman. It's just running a 40.
Yeah.
You can watch tape and find out if he plays too high. So I just, the 40 specifically, it is a marvel. It is so fun to watch and I love following it just casually and referencing it because if you draft a receiver who also returned kicks in college and then you look and he's a 4.28 40, like, wow.
Yeah.
That guy hauls.
Do you sit there and watch it like and guess? Like, oh. That's like a 4.72.
Yeah. No,
oh,
I don't.
No, that's a 5.1. Oh no.
Oh, while they're running?
Yeah, while they're running.
No, because I got my eyes locked on the clock.
Oh no.
I see it out of the corner and just
no, I'm watching. I'm like, okay.
Did you see 46-year-old Tom Brady ran a faster 40 than combine Tom Brady?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's all form.
Yeah. Well, that and it's all about like preparing for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, and that's what I think the NBA, like guys just prepare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, there was a kid that who came out of West Virginia. That was like one of the greatest combine stories of all time. Went with like the 10th overall pick.
Kevin White.
No, there's a kid named, it's Joe something. I want to say it's like 2010. Maybe 2009, 2008, 2009.
Obi Melanfonwu?
No. White kid that, like, in the NFL, I mean, the NBA draft.
Oh, NBA.
NBA.
I thought you were talking about the NFL.
No. And I think he was drafted by the Bucks. Anyway.
I've got nothing for you here.
Like, you're watching him and you're like, okay, well, this isn't, like, none of this really translates. And he really didn't last long in the league. But he had worked out so much on the drills that he was, like, his stats were astronomical. And you're like, oh, that's crazy.
He's just super athlete.
Super athlete, but it didn't translate at all. It was not great. But I think that's part of, like, the NBA, I think you can fool the draft a little bit, where I don't think you can in the NFL. Like, the NFL...
Yeah, teams are too smart now.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It became... Oh, Joel Alexander, my bad, West Virginia. 8th pick in 2008, and his numbers were just astronomical. You're like, how in the world? Like, even like, I think
he still bamboozled teams.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he lasted in the league like barely at all.
Yikes!
Yeah,
You want to give away a Kings jersey?
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're going to do this each month through the regular season. So we're giving away our February jersey today. We will give away our March jersey at the beginning of April. And then we'll give away our April jersey after the regular season finale.
Okay.
We've gone to the Wheel of Names.
The Wheel of Names.
Everybody who entered our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game contest was eligible to win. And our winner this month is David D. in Rancho Cordova. David D., congratulations. You have won a Sacramento Kings jersey courtesy of Jiffy Lube. Our promotion staff will be reaching out to you about your jersey. Congratulations to David D. in Rancho Cordova.
Winner, well, that's awesome.
You too can win a jersey courtesy of Jiffy Lube by entering our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game contest. After each and every Kings game, and Monday will be our next one. After every single Kings game, we come in, we give a keyword that represents the Fast Break Player of the Game.
Mm-hmm.
And you enter that keyword. You enter to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate, but then you're also entered to win a Kings jersey. You're entered to win those two things. So make sure you're getting in there. Make sure you're listening for the keyword. We'll give it to you. You enter, and hopefully you will be a big winner in the next couple of months. Congratulations, David D. We're proud of him.
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It sure is.
That's right.
I need more positive buttons. Because here's all my...
This is completely BS.
Well, it's not that.
It's a complete crap.
It's not. We're giving away jerseys. Jiffy Lube said, here's King's jersey. We bought you these jerseys.
That's right.
Give these away.
An abomination.
They're not. They're sick. They're super dope. And then...
It's ridiculous, and we're tired of it.
I'm not. I would give away a freaking jersey every week if we could.
Yeah.
But we have two more after today.
Oh, man.
Carlos E. and David D. are two winners so far.
All right.
All right. I think I've articulated my Domantas Sabonis point offensively. Offensively, not offensively. Offensively. Okay. And what I am wanting more for him, from him. And I think it's offense-driven more than Domas-driven. But I went and looked up today. The Kings are paying him upwards of $40 million. 43?
This season, no.
Well, I mean, over the average annual value.
Yeah, yeah.
43-ish.
Something like that. Yep.
43 and a quarter, I think. 43, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Anyways, 43 and a half. But it's really hard to win in the NBA when you are paying a player that much money and then not making him a focal point of your scoring options. When you go look at every high-paid player, most of them are these, like, in a big spot, they are the guy that you're going to give the ball to go get a bucket.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis has a usage rate. And usage rate is the percentage of possessions that a player finishes the possession, whether it's a turnover, whether it's a shot, whatever it is. Free throws.
Yep.
His usage rate is 21.7.
It's amazing.
That is tied with... that on NBA.com, you can't sort out like non-qualifiers.
Yeah.
So he comes in at 122. But there's a bunch of there's a bunch of guys who played like six games in there.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, JaVale McGee has a higher usage rate than Domantas Sabonis.
Right, right. And again, much smaller sample size. So, I don't want to say where he's ranked, but of the guys who play significant minutes around him, he is tied with Keldon Johnson, he is just behind Mo Wagner, and he is just ahead of Zach Collins.
Wow.
I would like to see him score. Like, he's too good for that.
Yeah, I think
he's too good to be in the same breath as Zach freaking Collins.
I think everyone out there, they literally heard Franz Wagner and Zach LaVine. That's what they heard. They did not hear Zach Collins.
But
they did not
Franz
hear
Wagner and Zach LaVine would
Mo
be great.
Wagner. They heard Franz Wagner. Franz Wagner.
I've been trying to articulate because shoot it more. That puts the onus to me on, and I think sometimes it is on Domas to shoot it when he's open. But I think it's a function of their offense and what he does in their offense. It is a dribble handoff, and it's like, bro, I would like him to be a scoring option, maybe not all game, but that number should be higher if you're going to be paying him $43.5 million average over the next 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
I think he's underutilized.
Okay, as a scorer.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about a guy who has an assist percentage at 34.8.
It's insane. It is bananas.
I mean, offensive win shares is 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how... Okay, this is kind of how I kind of like, in my mind...
Please.
I
have a thing with this on Keegan coming up. Go ahead.
Okay. I was looking at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, right? His stats.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the reason why is because it feels like every single game that I look at, Shea scores 31 points.
It's ridiculous.
And then you go and you look, and it's almost exactly the same. So his variance on his highs and his lows are so spectacular that I know this is like kind of a weird way to think of it, but to me, what Sabonis is as a rebounder, assist guy, and scorer is what is as Shea is as just straight up a scorer. Like the rebound and assist numbers specifically.
Okay.
So on the season, Shea has scored 20 or more in 55 58 games he's played in.
Good Lord.
20 or more. He's got a 19, a 17, and a 7-point game. Everything else on the season, 30 points or more. He's done that 44 times.
Whoa!
44 times. So the fact is that, like, yeah, he's gone for 40 only 5 times on the season.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a guy who's like averaging 31 a game. So his consistency, every single game you're writing down in pen that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is going to score 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like, it's remarkable how consistent he is. But it's the same thing with Sabonis. Like, I don't care that he's not scoring a bunch, because his variance on scoring is probably like 14 and 34, but most of them land between 17 and 22, like almost every game. And then the rebounding numbers are off the charts.
The bigger deal for me is in these close games, or in these games where they've let go of the rope and it's like, man, they just can't get a bucket. They can't. I would like to see them rely on him more. And I think by virtue of doing that, you would see that usage rate number creep up. Kenny Caraway is here with the handoff. Kenny, if you missed it, Domantas Sabonis has a lower usage rate than Mo Wagner, and he's just above Zach Collins.
I want to address that, but I do want to talk about.
I want to address this issue.
But I want to say something about what you said about SGA. I chuckled when you said that because I saw a stat the other day, and you guys forgive me for not getting exactly right.
No.
But I think... I think it said in a single season, he has the most games of exactly 31 points in NBA history.
Really?
Yeah.
I can look that up to confirm, but that sounds right.
Yeah, it was either a single season or a career or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's a single season, the most games of exactly 31 points. It was like 18 games or something like that.
That's crazy.
Maybe even more. I don't know. But I checked when you said, yeah, it feels like he has 31 every night. Like, yeah, it's usually exactly 31.
It's because he does have 31 every single night. Yeah, to me, it's remarkable the consistency that he shows. But it's the same with Sabonis. Like, Sabonis is going out there and, like, the double-double. Like, maybe we just say the double-double compared to the scorer.
Mm-hmm.
It's every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about the 40-game streak or the 41-game streak. He's got, like, the Kings have played 57 games. He's got 53 double-doubles.
Mm.
Like, the consistency that he's played with is off the charts.
Yeah.
He hasn't not had a double-double since November 29th.
That's crazy. So
it's outrageous.
So what I was saying about Sabonis and the usage rating and all this other stuff is...
Real quick,
yes.
Just to confirm your Shea Gilgeous-Alexander thing. He has 11 games this season with 31 points. That is the most all-time, just ahead of Oscar Robertson in 1961-62. He had 8. Charles Barkley had 8 of those things in 88-89.
He's probably going to get another 5 this year, too, at least.
That record may never be broken.
44 games with 30 or more. That's where he's at. That's wild.
Man.
Wild.
He's the MVP, if you ask me right now. Today, he's the leader for MVP. I think he's the guy. But Sabonis in usage rate, I don't know exactly if this is what you guys were talking about, but like shooting more and doing more on the offensive end. I feel like Sabonis is doing about what you would want him to do. Maybe a shot or two more a game, but if you asked him to do a little bit more, I don't think the production or the efficiency would be the same. It's
sure.
almost like if you did like a Malik Monk per 36, like, well, if he played 36 minutes, he'd be averaging 29 a game. Well, if he played 36 minutes, he'd probably have more turnovers. His shooting percentage would probably be lower and all this other stuff. Like, I think when people, you know, want Sabonis to shoot more,
mm-hmm.
I think that might be what would happen.
So here's, and this may be, we've got like 4 minutes, and this may be a bigger discussion. I'm on with you guys at 12:15.
We could talk about it.
We can talk about it.
I'm not ready to talk about football.
But here's my, thank God, dude, we're talking about that. Being, hey, we're talking NFL Combine today. Like, get that out of my face.
No, I'm just hurt.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fine. I finally went back through and started listening to football podcasts.
Nah, not there yet.
I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. I host a podcast. No, that's fine. Just keep downloading it. That's all I need.
I do that. It downloads automatically.
Delete. No, but here's my question then, and maybe this is blasphemous, but this is just what I come to. You then, if that's the player that he's going to be, if his offensive effectiveness is going to be more about distributing than scoring, that's totally fine, and I get it, and I understand everything, the impact he has.
Mm-hmm.
That requires, though, then a level of player around him.
Mm-hmm.
There's ostensibly a higher bar, right, of player that needs to be around him that can put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it more difficult to find those players when you have De'Aaron Fox as one of your highest paid guys. He's a 1A, I am in. You have Domantas Sabonis as one of your highest paid guys, and then what?
I think you got it right now to a certain degree. Like, you could always get better. Like, if they got Mikal Bridges, that's what we always talk about. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he can create, you know, a shot and all that
sure.
kind of stuff. But I think you got it. I think I'm expecting maybe towards the end of this year, but definitely next year, I'm expecting Keegan Murray to be that guy. I'm expecting Keegan Murray to be a 17-point-per-game scorer.
Yeah.
If they're able to bring him back, I expect Malik Monk to be that guy late in games that you go to for baskets along with De'Aaron Fox. I think they got it for the most part. I just those guys got to be a little bit more consistent. Keegan's got to be a little bit more assertive.
Mm-hmm.
But if franchise building, roster building, I feel like they got that. I do.
I'm with you. It's just waiting for it, right? Like, we were talking earlier about two timelines, and I'm at this point.
I hate that it's become a joke because it's such a useful thing to say.
Well, yeah, but at this point, I want to merge the two timelines. Like, mm-hmm. it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time for Keegan to become that guy right now mm-hmm. because that's what has to happen. And this team is going to not only like make the playoffs, but to like have a shot to go. He needs to elevate right now and become that player.
Yeah, because real quick, whoever you bring in, say you brought in Zach LaVine, you're not bringing Zach LaVine to average 26. You're bringing Zach LaVine in to average like 19 and do it consistently every night. And I think while I don't know if he can get to 19, I think he can give you that level of production along with Malik Monk on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then it's about finding 3-and-D guys to go alongside those guys, guys who average like 12 to 14, but are defensive-minded guys who hit the three ball.
Ironically, we've been talking about a lot of like just the perils of the combine, right, for teams. Mm-hmm. You fall in love with a guy because he's a super athlete and you forget that he can't play the sport. The irony of this is, James, you bring that up. I think one of the things the Kings need to do is over the next year or two, whenever they have picks, is go to the combine, even for undrafted guys, go to the combine, and everybody who blows up the combine, if they're available, be like, yeah, we'll bring them in. We'll see. Mm. We'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, he was taken with their pick, Olivier Maxwell Prosper. That's one of the combine guys that was just unbelievable with all the measurements and everything.
Mm.
They traded that pick.
He hasn't played, by the way, I don't think.
No.
Oh, good.
He's not there yet.
Good. Screw him. Do you in a play-in matchup, Kenny, real quick, we have like 40 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
In a play-in matchup, do you fear the Lakers or Warriors more? Because you under, like, everybody's on board that that's just what's happening, right? Like, we're just, there's no way that we're going to avoid, because there's, we got to make sure that this is as hellish as possible.
I think they could still, I understand what you guys are saying. I think they could still get to six.
That's just me. I don't know where James is at.
I understand what you're saying. I probably the Warriors because of Steph Curry.
Mm.
Okay. Lake Show.
That's ridiculous. I didn't do that. I don't know where that came from. They're both playing well, though.
Either team is tough.
Yeah. No doubt. I'm with you, though. You win six in a row. You're in a really good spot, and the Kings are in a soft part of their schedule. I think they can do that. Okay, we got to go. I'm on with D'Lo and KC at 12:15. We got a ton of stuff coming up with them, talking Kings. Thanks, James. We'll see you guys next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.